I just want to start off by saying today, just how much I love this church, how much I love that we can be here today in a combined service. How cool is it that the morning and the night service can come together? I'm just really pumped. Hello. No kids' church this morning. Sorry, so there's no kids' church this morning. But it is so good that the morning and the night church can come here and we can all stand here this morning and actually celebrate the name of Jesus and celebrate him all standing together, one together. So I'm going to get a slide up and technical things are going to work for me this morning. I reckon it's going to be good. Yeah. So this morning I'm going to talk on the topic of generosity. And before I actually go on to talk about generosity, can you guys just have a think now about the definition of generosity? So what do you think generosity is? If you have an answer, now say it out loud so we can hear it. Giving with a grateful heart, that's cool. Any other thoughts? Up the back. Love in action, cool. You were listening to my sermon on Friday. I preached on a similar topic. Good work, Josh. Yep, Abe. Kindness, cool. And those are all great things that are actually a part of generosity. That's awesome. So I think a lot of you guys would have thought along similar lines of this. My definition of generosity is the act of giving something of value without expecting anything in return. I say something of value because if you're giving something and you don't really put any value in it, if it's not important to you, then it's not really generosity. The act of giving something of value without expecting anything in return. So when we give and when we're generous, we don't actually do it to get something back. And so that's just the definition of the word, which I want to look at today based on the scriptures, based on the Bible, what God says, what Jesus said when he was here on earth. And I'm just going to look at some of my own experiences as well today, and I think it's going to be really great looking into this. Before I go any further, though, I did want to highlight a little bit of the reasons why I wanted to speak on this today. And some of that reason is because for the last month, some of you know that I've been overseas in different countries this last month. I spent a week in the Solomon Islands helping out, running programs in some schools and some churches. And that was great. But it was incredible to me to just see how, even though some people are really struggling in areas of poverty, that is a nation that has so much so much poverty and people just struggling to even get their food quota for the day, their drinking water, their shelter to actually live in, yet they're so happy and they're so generous. And I look at that and I go, I don't understand how people with so little can just be so generous. I've also had the opportunity with my wife Vic for the last 2 weeks we've been in Vietnam. And that's been an incredible experience to, again, see another culture and just how, even though they're so different to us, just being able to see how they've been, you know, struggling. Circumstances haven't been the best. They're still heavily impacted by a war which has really turned the nation upside down. And it was very heartbreaking for me to see the effects still there. Yet people are still so generous and people are still looking to the good things. And in Australia, you know, we are so blessed. We are so richly blessed. And even if you're a poor person in Australia, we know that, you know, studies lately have been showing that Australia, per person, we're actually the most wealthy nation per person. Can you believe that? The most wealthy nation per person. And that's just a study that's been shown lately. There's been some other studies that have had similar statistics, but Australia is always in the top 10 out of almost 200 countries in the world. We are so much more wealthy and blessed than we even know, than we can imagine. And so that's just the thought that I wanted to encourage you guys with today. Can we move on to the next slide? I'm going to ask you a question. What is your favorite thing about Christmas? Call out, what is your favorite thing about Christmas? Presents, Santa Claus, family. I'm hoping somebody says Jesus is a Christian church, but you know. That's good. So some people said the food. I love Christmas food, man. I long for that. It's great. So I did hear somebody say the presents. So presents are a good thing, right? Question for you guys. One more question. Do you enjoy receiving or giving presents more? Now, I want you to be brutally honest with yourself right now, because for me, I actually find this question a little bit hard, because I know you might not know this, but sometimes I can be very selfish as well, and I actually look forward to opening presents. So put your hand up if you like to receive more than give. There's a few hands going around the place. That's awesome. I appreciate your honesty. Put your hand up if you like to actually give presents more than receive. Oh, what a generous church. Most of you guys are actually putting your hand up. That's awesome. Some of you guys are more generous than me. So we believe here that God has actually called us to be generous. We are called to be generous people. And we're going to be talking about this today and how God in the scriptures actually calls us to be generous people. But the question is then, why? What does God have to do with generosity, and why does he want us to hold generosity as such a priority in our lives? And next slide I want to draw our attention to is that generosity is love in action. Generosity is about being an unselfish person. Can we remember now what God's greatest commandments are? You know, it's in the church vision statement, the motto here. So it's love God and love one another, right? So if we know that a lot of our life is dedicated to love God, love one another, and generosity is love in action, it means that if you're going to love, you actually need to be generous. You know, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. If you were going to love someone, it actually means sacrificing some of your time, some of your money, some of your gifts, your talents. And by the way, today when we're talking about generosity, we're not just talking about money. We're talking about anything that you have in your life, anything that God's actually given you. So it can definitely be your time, can be even your praise, your talents, your resources, anything that you have that we can actually be generous with. So just want to highlight a fact as well, that you are not a loving person unless you are generous. You may think you are a loving person, but unless you are generous, you are not really a loving person. And for me, that's a challenging thought. So if I'm not generous, I am not loving. For example, if I say that I'm loving my wife or I'm loving my family, but I'm not generous to them or I'm not generous to my wife, am I really loving them? I don't think so. Because being loving is actually being generous as well. Love is about giving and not actually getting. I like looking at statistics in the Bible and looking at how many times some words are used. I found it really interesting. The word believe is a pretty important word in the Bible, right? It's said 272 times in the Bible. It's a fair bit. But then the word pray, we think the pray is a pretty important word. 371 times in the Bible, the word pray is used. Now, the word love. Now, this is going to be huge. There's all different ways that the word love is actually said in the Bible. You know, God is love, so it should be in a very important theme. The word love is said 714 times in the Bible. 714. The word give. How many times do you think the word give is used in the Bible? You were also there on Friday. Wow. Yeah, and you remembered. Points for you, Abe. That's awesome. So the word give is used 2,152 times in the Bible. That is a lot of times, right? Why is this word used so often in the Bible? And I believe it's because God is a giver. You know, God so loved the world that he took. No, it doesn't say that. It says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You know, if God was not generous, you would have nothing in your life, nothing good. God has given you the air you breathe. He's given you the sunshine that we soak up in the day. He's given you the people around you, your friends, your family. Every single good thing that you have actually comes from God. Now, this morning in my message, I want to highlight 10 promises about generosity that are actually contained within the Bible. And this was a little bit hard for me to actually shorten down to 10 promises that God actually promises us, because there's 7,000 promises in the Bible, or approximately 7,000. There's a lot. And did you know that there are more promises connected to generosity than anything else in the Bible? So God promises a lot of great things, a lot of things that we can actually do and expect and believe that God will show up and God will actually fulfill his end of the bargain, because he's perfect. He does that. We can trust him. And these are some promises that God actually has given us to live with in our daily lives. So I'm going to kickstart with promise number one. Generosity honors God. Generosity honors God. So giving is an act of worship. Realizing that what you have is God's and giving it back to him, it brings him glory. So if you take, you know, your best fruits, the best things that you have in your life and give it to God, put it before God and say, I know it's yours, God, here you go. Then that actually brings him glory. And it actually brings a smile to God's face. That's what the Bible says. So 2 Corinthians 9 verse 13 says, you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. I think this is really cool. So, spoiler alert, I'll go back one. This is very touchy. Proverbs 14 verse 31. Whoever is generous to the needy honors God. So it's just basically summarizing the thought that if you give, you're actually honoring our Father in heaven. And we've already covered a little bit of the fact that, you know, God loves every single person that is on this earth. Every single person that is on this earth has been called by God. They are his children. And God loves them so much. And so when we are actually generous to those around us, when we give to those around us, whether that be our money, whether it be our time, our resources, it actually means that we are glorifying God through that. And that's awesome. So number two, generosity draws us closer to God. Did you know that whatever you invest your money and time in, whatever you invest your resources in, it shows what is most important to you? So basically, wherever you spend your attention, your focus, your time, that shows what is most important to you. So if I invest my money into serving God, if I invest my time into serving God and his kingdom, it shows myself and also God that he is important to me. Matthew 6 verse 21 says, your heart is where your treasure is. So we're going to go from this verse leading into the next slide, which should come up any second now. And that'll be awesome. Tithing. So some of you guys knew that tithing would have had to come up somewhere in this talk. God actually says in the Bible that it's really great to be able to give him the first things that we receive when we work, when we earn, and we actually put the best of what we have first and say, God, here you go. I recognize that it all comes from you and I want to give it to you. Saying, God, you're my number one, and giving him 10% on the first day of the week is a great, incredible way that a lot of us in this room actually practice so that we can give God glory. Deuteronomy 14 verse 23 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. So if you want to be closer to God, then put your money there, put your resource there, put your time there, and you will inevitably be closer to him as well. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 to 8 says, God loves the one who gives gladly, and God will make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. I love that this verse talks about how, you know, we should be able to give gladly. We can give joyfully to others. God doesn't want us to give saying, oh, fine, God, I'll give again and I'll have to just take this as sacrifice and it won't be good. God actually says that it's great for us to be able to give to him gladly. And with that, we actually come closer to him. And that's great. Number three, generosity makes us more like Jesus. Generosity makes us more like Jesus. I hope it doesn't come to a surprise to you that Jesus was the most generous person who ever lived. You know, he sacrificed his own life so that we could spend eternity with our Father in heaven. We have been saved because of the generosity that Jesus had for us. And every single time that you give, your heart becomes bigger and more like Christ. Proverbs 21 verse 26 says, the greedy always wants more, but the godly love to give. So basically, the more godly that you become, the more generous you are. And it works the other way around too. So the more generous you are, the more godly you become. So I'll say that again. The more godly you become, the more generous you are. And the more generous you are, the more godly you become. Luke 11 verse 41 says, purity is best demonstrated by generosity. Basically, this verse is saying that to live a holy life, you know, who here wants to live a holy life? We're called to live a holy life. Yeah, that's awesome. To live a holy life is to be a giver. It's to be somebody who is generous. So I've got a question for you. Do you think that God needs your money? Do you think that God needs your money to do his work? I don't think he does. You know, it's all his anyway. He gives us everything that's good. He could, in an instant, just give you every bit of money in the world if he wanted to, or take it all away just with a click of his fingers. But I believe that God just wants us to learn how to be generous. God wants to teach us how to be unselfish. He wants to teach us to be more like him. Number four, generosity is the cure to materialism. Materialism is about getting. So if you don't know what materialism is about, you know, focusing too much on the things that we have in our life, those practical things that we have, could be a house, could be a car, could be definitely money, anything that you put all of your time and effort into that isn't necessarily God. Materialism is about getting. You know, we get about, I don't know how many, but hundreds and hundreds of advertisements per day on average. You know, just think about all of the times that you're watching TV or you go through the shops or even just driving on the road and you see adverts around. And who's ever been, you know, just minding their own business, the shops or something, and then you see an ad, or you're watching TV and you see an ad and you didn't even know it existed, didn't even know the product has existed, but you're like, I think I need that. I didn't know it existed, but I need that. You know, I've been there and I've done that. And it's just because our culture currently is just so materialistic. We focus too much on the things that we have and the things that we get, and not as much on the things that we give. But did you know that every single time that you give, you break the hold of materialism in your life? Whenever you are generous, you actually break that hold, break that bondage of materialism in your life. So I want to highlight this point. The only antidote for materialism is giving. I think that's so important. Matthew 6 verse 24 says, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. And, you know, there's a reason we believe why Jesus actually says you cannot serve God and money. He doesn't say you cannot serve God and the devil, or God and Satan. Because did you know that materialism is often the largest barrier, or one of the larger barriers between us and God? A lot of the time, materialism and the focus on the money, the focus on what am I going to get, is actually a huge distraction from God. And I hate to say it, but sometimes even church can be like that. It's all about what I'm coming to get. You know, I hope that they play that song because I love that song, and I hope that that the message is good, not too long, because that means it'll be good for me and I can do my stuff afterwards. You know, that's not really what church is about. You know, church is about, learning and growing with God together, but it's also about giving and it's about pouring out. And I believe that we have an incredible generous church here where there's a lot of people who put their time and effort into actually giving out. And I feel like I feel way beyond blessed just being a part of a church that is so generous. But I feel like it's always important to be able to just make sure that our focus is on the things that God wants us to focus on. You know, some people say, doesn't the Bible say that money is the root of all evil? Well, I'm here to tell you that the Bible doesn't say that, but it does say that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not good or bad, but money is a tool. Money is a tool that we should use. I absolutely love this quote by Rick Warren. Rick Warren's one of my favorite preachers, and some of you may have read his book, Purpose-Driven Life, things like that. But this quote's just gold. We either use money and love people, or we love money and use people. It's heavy, right? We either use money and love people, or we love money and use people. If you have a love for money, and if you're chasing money, and that's the thing that you're focusing on, you know, before you know it, you'll eventually start using people to actually get that money. You'll be using the people that God actually loves and God wants us to pour ourselves and our lives into. And you know, there's nothing wrong with being a rich person as long as you're using it just as a tool. You know, in my life, I don't have a strong desire to be rich. I want enough money to live on. I want enough money to support my family. I want enough money to give when I can. But I believe that there are some things more important than life, more important in life than having money. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19 says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain that money and wealth can just go away in an instant, right? But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Isn't it cool that we worship a God who actually wants us to enjoy our life, who actually wants us to enjoy the time here on earth? But I just want to highlight to you guys that the fact that your identity does not link to your worldly riches. Your identity does not link to the amount of money that you have, but it does link to your Father in heaven and what he actually calls you to be. And he says that you are his child, that he loves you so dearly. And that's the thing that we can support our lives on. Number five, fifth promise, generosity demonstrates my faith. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 13 says, "Your giving proves the reality of your faith." Similar vein, Philemon 1 verse 6 says, "You are generous because of your faith." So when you grow in faith, you become more generous. And when you're generous, you actually grow in your faith because you are trusting in God that he will actually firstly provide you with your needs and that you won't be without. And secondly, that when you give, you know, God can actually use that to increase the influence of his kingdom. And I think that's huge. You know, stinginess, and in some parts of my life, I believe my selfish self, I've been stingy in some areas of my life. You know, stinginess is caused by unbelief. If you're stingy, you're actually, you know, you're not exercising the faith that God has you in his hands, that God is giving you all that you need, and we don't need anything but him. Malachi 3 verse 10 says, "Bring your whole tithe to the storehouse. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it." Who here wants that blessing that you don't even have room enough for that blessing? All right, who wants, you know, the floodgates of heaven to just open up for you? And I've got the challenge for you is try out giving God, because I promise you that if you give to God, God will give back more every time, and you cannot win him in that. Now, I'm not saying that God will, you know, he'll give you every, like when you give him everything, he'll give you back and your life will be perfect, because that is not true whatsoever. This is not the prosperity gospel, but I am saying here that God says that he has our back. God says here that he is able to, you know, look after us and bless our circumstances. I just want to share something a little bit about my own life. You know, I've been tithing for a long time now. I don't do this to say, oh, I'm all spiritual and stuff, because this is the first time I'm telling people. I started tithing when I was at the end of high school, when I got a part-time job, a casual job, when I was in school. And I thought that 10% or at least 10% every week would be a great thing to show God that I want to put him first and to make sure that I have my focus on him. And it's years down the track now, and my wife Vic and I, we still tithe at least 10% in the church every week. And, you know, that hasn't always been easy. There's been some times where it's been rough. Most of the last few years, Vic and I have been full-time uni students, and we've just been trying to support ourselves, and we've been just living on dollar to dollar. And I know that some of you guys have been like that as well, and it's not an easy situation. But there was a time at the end of last year where, you know, we were both full-time studying. We're both trying to make our ends meet. We were moving house and we felt like God was saying, hey, give this amount that you can't really afford. And we're like, okay, we don't know how God's going to help us out with this and how to pull us through. But we gave that anyway, believing in faith that God has our backs and he would help us out. and that our money would be used for his kingdom. And the incredible thing is that the next week is crazy, because some people in this church that are sitting in this room, they don't even know this story, but they gave us $5,000 out of the blue that we were absolutely blown away by. And we were just like, what? God, are you kidding me? Like, I have no idea just how incredibly blessed I am with this, because out of the blue, they just gave us money that we needed. And we knew that that was an answer to prayer, and because we were faithful with God and we put him first. Now, maybe you've actually had times in your own life where you've given a little bit and God has given so much more back. But I just want to encourage you with the fact that if you feel like you are going to be giving and God won't give back, then you're kidding yourself. God actually said, he says in these verses, like, I dare you, give and see if I don't give back to you. Because he'll always give back more than what you actually give to him and to his works as well. Number six says, generosity reveals your character. Generosity reveals your character. Generosity shows what your heart is really like. Helps you answer the question, do I have a selfish heart or do I have a generous heart? Do I have somewhere in between? The Bible actually talks about how God uses money to test what's really inside of us. He uses money and our resources and our time to see if he can trust you with more. God says that if you're faithful with little things, he'll give you more things, more responsibility, more things to be in charge of, and that he will give you greater blessings in eternity. And I thought, find this really encouraging. Luke 16 verse 11 says, if you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the riches of heaven? The answer is nobody. Nobody will trust you with the riches of heaven if you don't actually look after what you have here on earth. Did you know that your responsibility and rewards in heaven, the Bible says, they are based on how you use what you have here on earth, how you use your time and your money and your resources here on earth, how you use what you've been given actually determines on how blessed you are in eternity or what you actually have in eternity. So I want to encourage you guys, store treasures in heaven where it counts. Number seven, flying through these, generosity brings God's blessing. Generosity brings God's blessing. We've already touched on this a little bit, but if you want God's blessing, then help other people with what you've got. The more that you approach life with an open hand, with an open heart, giving out, God gives you more in return. Proverbs 22 talks about how generous people will be blessed. You either believe this or you don't, but God said it, and it's true. Next verse, Deuteronomy 15 verse 10. Give generously, then because of this, God will bless you in all your work, in everything that you put your hand to. Now again, you will not have a perfect life. You will have times when you don't have much health or money, or things will go bad, or people around you might pass away, and that's all very terrible things, heartaches that we have to deal with in life. But again, God actually promises that he'll bless our circumstances. He'll actually be with us in the fire. He'll be with us in the storm. So my question to you is that do you want God to bless you today? Do you want God to bless you? If the answer is yes, then maybe check your heart and see if you are generous. Are you a generous person? Psalm 112 verse 5 says, all goes well for the generous man who conducts his business fairly. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. Let's just focus on this passage for a little bit. I think it's just gold. God's constant care of him. Like we've been talking about, God wants to care for you. And this, and giving generously actually gives him permission to, you know, be in your life. And he's able to, you know, have your back in those hard times. Him, he will make a deep impression on all who see it. So we're going to touch on this a little bit later as well. But, you know, when you're generous, it actually impacts other people around you, not just you. Number 8, generosity increases my happiness. Generosity increases my happiness. Acts 20, verse 35. So this is Jesus speaking here. This is a pretty wise quote, but did you know that Jesus said this? There's more happiness in giving than receiving. So think right now of the most selfish person that you know. Don't turn to the person next to you if it's them. Think of the most selfish person that you know. Are they a happy person? Yes or no? Probably not. What about the most generous person that you know? Think about the most generous person that you know right now. If they are beside you, you can look at those people. Are those people happy? The most generous person that you know? Probably. They're probably happy if they're generous. And that is because, you know, Jesus even said here, there's more happiness in giving than receiving. It absolutely saddens me the fact that though Australia is one of the richest places in the world, one of the richest countries in the world, it also has one of the largest suicide rates in the world. Australia is one of the places where people take their own life the most. And it absolutely breaks my heart that is the fact and that is going on in our culture at the moment. And I believe that a big reason for that is that, you know, we can be selfish. It can all be about us. And when you are a selfish person, that does not actually produce happiness. You know, sometimes in my own life, I've experienced being self-centered, and I still do. I'm definitely not perfect and haven't reached this yet. I'm still learning so much about this and looking on this this topic. It's been really challenging to me because I've just realized that in some ways I am more selfish than I want to be, and I want to become more like Jesus every day. And I feel like I'm becoming more like Jesus every year. I'm becoming more like him, but I've got a long way to go. But Jesus says that if you want a supernatural joy in your life, then be generous with what you have. Be generous with what you have. Open heart, open hand, give others what you've been given. You will have joy, you will be blessed, and you will be able to have an impact for God's kingdom, which is so far beyond just your own life. Number 9, generosity expands my influence. Generosity expands my influence. Do you want to positively impact the people in your life? Do you want a legacy after you're gone? Do you want to be remembered? Will people say on your grave after you're gone, will they say, oh, that person has so much money, they're awesome. Or that person had the best shoes, they're awesome. No, they're not going to say that. They're going to say, you know, that person impacted my life. They helped the poor. They invested time in me. They invested their resources in me, and that made an impact on me. So generosity expands our influence. Psalm 112, verse 9 says, those who give generously to those in need will never be forgotten. This is in the Bible. Psalmist wrote this. They will have influence and honor. What a promise. Those who give generously to those in need will never be forgotten. They will have influence and honor. I feel pretty blessed. I've this last few weeks, as you know, I've been overseas, and even before that, though, Vic and I have been going through a very, very busy time period in our life. I've been, you know, full-time at uni, full-time teaching at Maitland Christian School, doing my final high school teaching prac. I've been doing a lot of tutoring. I've been employed here at the church. I've been doing a lot of music gigs around town. I've been very busy. And so I'm sorry for those who have been wanting to catch up with me for a long time, and it's been a little bit hard to do that. But, you know, Vic has also been, you know, having a lot of night shifts, a lot of things going on. So we've been very busy, and our church blessed us while we were away because the leadership team decided that they should send somebody over to mow our lawn. And this might seem like a small thing, but to me, I was blown away by this because I'm like, wow, they actually, you know, the church, somebody from the church actually came over, put their time, put their resources and effort into coming over and mowing my lawn, which is definitely something that helps save time, and it just made me feel very loved. And you know, that is something that as part of a church, we are actually called to do and called to be for one another. We are called to invest our time, our resources to help those in need. We're called to actually be there for one another and make an impact on one another so that we are able to have an influence in each other's lives. Because everybody at some point will have a time in their life where, you know, things aren't going super well. And at some point in our life, everybody needs support in some way or another. And so when we're talking about generosity, putting others in the equation is just a huge thing that we want to focus on. This is a big challenge. Be known for your generosity. And I believe this doesn't only go to a personal level and come from a personal level that we want to be known for our generosity, but also as a church, we want to be known for our generosity. We want to be known by the way that we can impact other people and other ministries and the way that we're actually able to contribute to God's kingdom and God's work and what he's doing. Because it's really exciting. God's got a lot of opportunities for us to really get involved in. And if you do want to serve or you want to give in a certain area, talk to many people here that have so many different ideas, so many things that you could actually contribute to. Number 10, last one. Generosity will be rewarded when I get to heaven. 1 Timothy 6 says, use your money to do good, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. So that's what we've been talking about. Share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourself in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. So question, how do you store up treasure in heaven? Well, the answer for that is by investing in people and investing in God's kingdom. And that is how you'll be able to produce fruit that lasts. Luke 16 says, I tell you, use your worldly wealth to benefit others and make friends. In this way, your generosity stores a reward for you in heaven. Now, is this verse saying that you need to pay people to be your friends? I don't think that's what it's saying. Use your worldly wealth to benefit others and make friends. What the point of this verse is it's talking about the fact that the way that we use our time, the way that we use our money, the way that we use our resources actually has a great impact on the way that the people can actually find God and people are actually able to experience God. So use what you have to help others. Here's a huge question. Is anyone else going to be in heaven because of how generous you were? Because of your generosity, will you see people in heaven, friends and family, who, because of the faith that you had in giving, because of the faith that you had in putting time and effort into things around you and not focusing on yourself, that people will experience God, that people will want to reach out to God and God's love? Because, you know, people can see it on your life if you're a generous person. And they go, wow, there's something different about you. I don't know exactly what that is, but I want to know more. It's very attractive being generous, and it's something that we are called to do as Christians on a daily basis. He calls us to actually have a lifestyle that revolves around being generous. Here's the pointy end of the sermon. It's the big question that I want you guys to think about, not only this morning, but also just throughout the week and the rest of your life, really. Where am I going to keep my greatest wealth? Is it going to be here? Is it going to be caught up in all my possessions, in my money, in my business? Or is it going to be all about eternity? Is it going to be about God and his kingdom? Where am I going to keep my greatest wealth? So that's just a big challenge that I wanted to encourage you guys with this morning. Now, I'm just going to highlight some practical ways that we can give. And there are so many ways to give. So these are just a few here. And obviously, church offering or tithing is a huge one, where we have a great team here at Maitland Baptist Church that actually is very prayerful and considers where the money is actually going to different ministries and different things in and outside of the church. where that money is well used, and where, you know, it is always prayed for, it's blessed, and people are able to see more of Jesus because of that. We're going to talk about Compassion for a little bit. Compassion is a really cool organization, which Lindsay and I met up with a gentleman from Compassion a few months back, and we're able to have some great discussion about how I believe it's about 40 Compassion kids are currently sponsored by people in Maitland Baptist Church. And that is such a cool and encouraging thing for me to hear, that people in this room are actually supporting sponsor kids. Now, if you don't know much about this, Compassion sponsors kids in a lot of different countries, Africa, India, the Philippines, different areas where they don't have enough food, nutrition, they don't have clean water, they don't have maybe even shelter or schooling. But being able to donate only $50 a month, they're actually able to donate to some children where they're able to get well-fed, well-dressed, well-housed. They're able to have Christian education. And it's really encouraging. We actually launched it at Wildfire Youth on Friday night. We launched that we're also sponsoring Compassion and starting to sponsor Compassion children. And so it was encouraging the younger people, the teenagers, to actually start donating some of their money. Some of them are starting to get all part-time casual jobs now, and some of them were really fired up about the opportunity to actually give to some people who are in need. And so if this is you, then talk to one of us, or just simply just go on to Google and type in Compassion and it'll come up and you can just click sponsor. And this is something great that you can actually do and put your money and time towards. Samaritan's Purse is another great one. I won't spend too much time on this because Clay and Mads talk about this one a bit, but it's another really great opportunity to give. There's also, for example, the A21 that was mentioned earlier. So many great things that we can give towards, and maybe be prayerful about that as well. But one that we wanted to focus on today, and we're actually going to have an offering that will be coming around fairly soon, is the State Youth Camp. It's for the Baptist Youth Ministries in New South Wales. And we have 20 young people from the youth ministry here, so 20 including leaders, from Maitland Baptist Church going to State Youth Camp next week. So we're going to go, for a full weekend from Friday to Monday. We've got huge games, great worship, guest speakers. And, you know, camps are always such a great time to build those quality friendships and relationships, but more so to be able to just spend that time away, just building our knowledge, our foundation in God, and building in our faith. And so some of the young people have been struggling to pay, and we actually lowered down the price of our tickets so that more of the young people can come. Now, even with that, some of them were only allowed to or were only able to pay for about half or just a little bit of their ticket price. And so we're going to ask you guys today, soon we're going to hand around an offering bucket. And if you'd like to chip in for that, then that would be sensational. And you'd be supporting some young people actually wanting to grow in their faith in this camp that's coming up. But I do have a condition. Please don't put in any money unless you have prayed first. Seriously, we don't want your money if you haven't prayed first. Because whatever you give, and this is actually has to do with the tithe, and every single thing that you give, it's between you and God. Please don't give out of guilt, because that's not what this talk is about. That's not what this is about. But it's all about, you know, putting our priority, putting God as our priority, and knowing that He's a generous God, and we want to be able to, you know, ask Him for what we should give and what is on our heart to give. So don't make just an impulsive and emotional decision. So I'm going to ask a couple of people to come up. Yeah, thanks, guys, to get this offering and come around again. But before that comes around, I'm just going to pray and close. And then the worship team's going to come back up after that, and we're going to spend some great quality time in worship. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads as we just pray for this offering and for this day. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are so good. You've given us so much. We pray, Father, that You can just help us today to just become more like You, to be more generous, to be able to, you know, give more of our life away, knowing that that it's all for you, knowing that you've given us what we have so that we can give it away, so that we're able to just lift you higher, to give you glory, give you honor. We pray, Father, that you can just bless all the ministries, bless all of the amazing things that people are doing in this church and out of this church that we can sponsor for and fundraise as well. And we pray, Father, that you can just help these young people in this camp next week to have an incredible time, and that you are glorified and they can get to know you more. We thank you that our church can come together on an amazing day for us to just stand together in the name of Jesus. We pray that you can just help our church to just be united and just praising you, Father. Help us to know more of you, more of your love, more of your truth today. We love you, Jesus. Amen.